the African Transformation Movement, the ATM, two MPs in the House of Assembly. They have had their request for a motion of no confidence debate in President Cyril Ramaphosa granted, and that will be debated in the House next week. It has been confirmed that it is going to be an open vote. I don't know whether the ATM applied formally for it to be a secret vote, and I don't know what difference that might have made. Let's ask political economy analyst Daniel Silk. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, John. Hi.
Doesn't have a prayer of passing, does it?
No, and I think we would all be very surprised, and I would have to turn in my hat as an analyst if it did pass. It's certainly depending on numbers. The ANC has a very large majority, as we know. The ANC still have to get their members into the House or at least be present in order to vote, so it's not as though you could have a very large stay away for whatever reason of ANC members. But if there's enough for whoopery done to get people in line, it'll be easily supported by the ANC and will win.
230 seats is what the ANC has, which means the opposition has 170. And as you say, even if all of them voted for the motion, the ANC would have to have 60 members absent from the vote in order for it to carry. And I wonder if all the opposition will support it. I mean, the EFF doesn't tend to support motions that it doesn't bring itself. I don't know what the DA's position will be. They don't have a lot of confidence in Cyril Ramaphosa, but will they want to side with the African Transformation Movement?
Yeah, I think that's it. Look, this is a very small party. It brought the motion at the beginning of the year before COVID, in fact, before lockdown. I think the ATM will want to clearly negotiate with the other opposition parties. They'll want to make this look as though they are leading a more united opposition front. It gives them, of course, the chance to punch above their weight as a two-person party. So it's in their interests to try and rope in other parties, other opposition parties, to vote for the motion. But, of course, it depends how the ATM frame this particular motion. Remember, the ATM have their own particular agenda. They're a political party born out of Mzwanhili money many years ago, looking to pry open fissures and factions within the ANC. So how they frame that debate, the issues and points they bring up, that will probably dictate how other opposition parties support or don't support the motion.
But it is an opportunity for debate. It is an opportunity for members of the opposition to criticize President Cyril Ramaphosa. And apparently part of the motion is going to deal with the funding for the CR17 campaign, about which there is general opposition, unhappiness and suspicion. So it could be a difficult day for Cyril Ramaphosa if his ego is at all sensitive.
Look, it certainly is an opportunity for debate. We've had, of course, very sort of sterile political meetings in Parliament over the last 6-9 months as a result of COVID. Many of the big issue questions have been really relegated against the urgent matters of COVID and other issues. So this is an opportunity to bring out all of the wrongs of South Africa, all of the inefficiencies over the last 9 months to a year or so. And, of course, all of the embarrassing moments for President Ramaphosa, including, of course, issues relating to his campaign finance and many others relating to, of course, the failure of state-owned enterprises and also graft and corruption and, of course, Mr. Ace Magashule's role in all of this. So it really is an opportunity for opposition parties to vent all of their frustration over the 9 months, and I think it will be a fairly active and heated debate.
I suspect that there are ANC MPs who would prefer Cyril Ramaphosa, who would like Cyril Ramaphosa to depose, so somebody more in line with their hands in the till attitude could replace him. But with it being an open vote, I mean, none of them are going to stand up and attack the president in an open session. If it were, if it were a secret vote, who knows what might happen. So maybe one looks at who is absent and tries to understand whether they have a genuine reason to be absent, or they're simply absenting themselves because they don't have, or they have too much confidence in Cyril Ramaphosa's ability to shut down their faction of the ANC.
Yeah, look, I think, in these kind of big debates, sort of flashy moments like this one, the ANC tends to stick together. We did see some disagreements in the ANC when it was Jacob Zuma's reign, when, of course, some of the ANC members did vote, in fact, against Jacob Zuma in a particular motion. But in general, I would expect the whippery to perform the task, ANC MPs to largely fall in line. Whilst there might be some absentees, I don't think that there is an appetite, certainly at the moment now, at the end of 2020, which has been an awkward year for everybody, to look to rattle President Ramaphosa. That can come at an NEC meeting in the next few months, over the next year or two. The National General Council of the ANC meets to reaffirm Ramaphosa's leadership in a year or two's time. It can come then. But I don't think it's the opportune moment now for a rebellion to take place within the ANC. And I don't think it, in fact, has enough strength to really muster those numbers.
And then a very interesting letter to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry today from advocate Vuyani Ngalwana, who's currently an acting judge, saying, I really would like to hear from Jacob Zuma's deputy presidents during the wasted years and someone from the cabinet ministers what their view is on the state capture that this commission is investigating that supposedly happened during those years. And I thought, actually, I mean, I've understood why Cyril Ramaphosa kept quiet, because if he spoke out, he would have been maneuvered out of the deputy presidency and he would have lost any chance he might have had of trying to change the direction of the ANC. But it would be very interesting to hear one of the evidence leaders saying to Cyril Ramaphosa, what were you doing? What were you saying when all of this was happening with PRASA and ESCOM and Danel and what were you doing?
Well, you know, I think that's correct, and I certainly think that there should be accountability for all of those years. That not only President Ramaphosa sat at the top desk and pontificated on major decisions, but also for many other cabinet ministers who were involved in key portfolios. And I think back to the Minister of Energy overlooking issues relating to ESCOM for all of those years. And we've had precious little accountability from other ministers. So there is certainly opportunity and room for that. We tend to look at President Ramaphosa as that sort of new dawn president through rose-tinted glasses. But I think, and that's, well, this will come through, I think, in the motion of confidence, there certainly will be a critique of the president that many of the issues that plague South Africa today ultimately happened on his watch while he was deputy president and certainly very influential within the ANC.
Daniel Silk, political economy analyst, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.